expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice fills the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul. In your soul. In your soul. A century of dreams. Haunted the loggers and the cowboys. Double cross, foul sack, and sedum. They cursed rough roads, hauling their loads, but they did their best to deliver them. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a race full of thrills.
All right. Yeah, we need some loggers and cowboys, don't we, Wynn?
We do. Good morning, Jefferson. How's it going? I know here in Redding, in Shasta County, we are a little on the smoky side. I'm going to be hacking like I'm a 12-pack smoker here pretty soon. I was doing that on the way in here today. It's like, good Lord, driving from one side of town to the other, you're just driving into the filth.
You can tell Wynn's a beer drinker, not a smoker, because he says 12-pack smoker. I'm not sure what that is.
12-pack-a-day smoker.
So anyway, yeah, we could use some of those loggers out there. We don't have any loggers or cowboys left anymore. California's pretty much run them all off. We got lots of firemen, though. And because we have no loggers, we need lots of firemen. So kudos to the firemen doing their jobs. But, boy, I'd sure love to see some of those trees being logged rather than burned. But that's just me, maybe. I don't know.
And the ground cleaned up and used at the cogens and all that good stuff?
Yeah. It's a mess. Where those fires are burning right now, I did a lot of hunting out in that area. I used to hunt a lot of the area where the Hertz fire, which is now pretty much contained, but it has burned into the Delta fire now. So I've hunted in both those areas. So now
we have a complex, huh?
Yeah. And now it's heading west, so it very well may get over to the Carr fire. I don't know. There's not going to be much left to burn, but I'll tell you what, that terrain they're in right now is very steep, it's very rugged, and it's checkerboarded in there. Every other square mile, one is Sierra Pacific, the next square mile is National Forest land. And I'll tell you what, the National Forest land is a disaster. It is a mess. When we were hunting in there, you could camp on the National Forest land. You couldn't camp on Sierra Pacific land. So we spent weeks in there during hunting season trying to find a spot on National Forest land that you could put a tent up. And literally, most of it you couldn't even walk into. It was so thick and dense with dead undergrowth and nothing but dry, dead twigs and dead trees laying underneath the trees. It was horrible.
How does the wildlife survive out there?
It doesn't. And that's the only place you see the wildlife is in the Sierra Pacific side. Now, you can hunt in the Sierra Pacific side. That particular area has, like, you know, little log landings and has turnouts and, you know, it's nice and clear and thinned, and there's new brush growing underneath the thin trees. And I mean, it's very nice land in there. But the National Forest side is an absolute disaster. And unfortunately, you know, that National Forest side has created the tinder to burn all the Sierra Pacific land also. Mm-hmm. So that whole thing, it'll probably look like a desert here next year, desert of black sand.
Wonderful.
Yeah, so that's where we are in Jefferson, is the whole place is burning up because California doesn't know how to manage anything. So,
You can't manage it from a desk in Sacramento.
No, and when you don't know what a tree actually looks like, it's really hard to know what's best for trees. I mean, yeah, I'll tell you what, maybe they should concentrate on managing their cities, because personally, I don't know. Maybe banning straws will help people defecating on the sidewalks. I'm not sure, but I, you know, I'm not a city dweller, so maybe there's a method to their madness. But for all means, you guys continue to work on your problems, and why don't you let us have our problems back so we can take care of them?
We can take care of them. We can manage them the way it needs to be done.
Yeah. It is a birthday today, Wynn. Do you know whose birthday it is?
I do.
They're 168 years old. Does any of the callers out there know whose birthday it is today? We won't be playing any songs, and I didn't bring balloons, but yes, California's birthday is 168 years old, September 9th, 1850. We became a state, and we were a pretty decent state back then.
Mm-hmm.
How times have changed. So.
Changed in a big way.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
Yeah, there were 400,000 people at that time in population in total in the state of California.
Yeah, actually, there was even less in 1850, but yeah, in 18 by 1864 or whatever, yeah, 400,000 people. And I mean, and we still have the same number of senators as we did in 1860.
Yeah, that's the other twist. It's like, how does that work? I mean, they're representing more and more people, so we have fewer and fewer representatives doing the job for more and more people. Something's out of whack.
But we have finally,
we have a remedy, though, don't we?
We do. And I think it's called the State of Jefferson.
Yes,
so maybe banning straws will save the state.
doubtful.
Yeah, I think we'll go ahead and go with the State of Jefferson.
So what do these poor little kids do with their juice drinks, drink boxes? How do they get to drink the drink?
Well, I don't know if they can drink juice anymore. They can't drink soda anymore. So maybe that'll solve itself out, because I don't know if they can drink juice. I know they can drink water and milk, I think, now in their Happy Meals, which is not a very happy meal, if you ask me. But, you know, I'm not a kid anymore, so.
Yeah, we're making it easy on everybody, aren't we, here in California? Just kind of keep it simple. Let's hose everybody all at once.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, what do we got coming up, Wynn?
Well, today, tomorrow's going to be Monday, yes. Tomorrow, Monday, we're going to have our Shasta County Jefferson meeting, the one here in Redding, and that'll be 5:30 at the church that is unnamed at 2570 Bonneview Road. And so we come one, come all. We have our Jefferson meeting about 5:30, talk about some things Jefferson, and then we move on into our Patriot meeting, and that starts at 6 o'clock. And tomorrow night, we're going to be having Jeanette Finnicum. She's the widow of Lavoy Finnicum, who was murdered up in Oregon. So if you don't know who they are, get on the web, check it out, see who they are, and come hear her speak about what's going on. She's suing the feds and the state of Oregon and the sheriff's department, and I think there's a long list of folks that she's probably going to be suing for wrongful death and termination of her husband. So, and he was not doing anything wrong. So there you go. A sovereign citizen was murdered by the government.
For standing up for the Constitution.
Standing up for the Constitution that...
Tried to say he was armed. The only thing in his pocket was a pocket Constitution. So, and that anymore with the progressives is cause for...
Yeah.
Death, so.
Yeah, that's more lethal, apparently, than again.
Yeah, it's a virus that needs to be stopped. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
So anyway, she's going to be speaking to us tomorrow night. So come one, come all. Come early so you can get a seat and check out and see what's going on. And then let's see what we did this last week. We were up in Shasta County. We are Shasta County. In Shasta County, we were up in northeastern Shasta County, up in MacArthur, at the county fair up there, and we had our Jefferson booth. And it was well received. Lots of good attendance, people coming through the fair. It's a small little country fair, but it's a good country fair. And we had some good visitors coming to our booth. You know, we had our congressman, and we had the board supervisor for that district, and District 3. She came by, and she had a little bit of an education and kind of opened her eyes a little bit because I didn't let her get away. and her family, in all fairness, was buying a bunch of gear there. They bought some shirts and some hats and bumper stickers and donated money to the cause. So that was very good and very supportive of her family to do that. And then, let's see, I want to thank everybody for doing that. Terry and Sally were rock stars. They opened the booth and they closed the booth every single day. They were there all 12 hours of fair every day, and they had a good time doing it. And then others came through. Janet Chandler came from Bernie down the hill or up the hill a little bit to hang out there with us and to keep us all straight and make sure we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. Cracking the whip is the only way Janet can do, and thank you, Janet. And we had other friends from Bernie come up then and help us out. And so it was good. And then others came from Reading. You know, we had Margie and Brenda come up there and help us out, and Shay and a couple other folks. And just coming up the hill to help us out, to spread the word and get the word out to people about Jefferson and answer questions where we currently are with the court case and all the other stuff that's going on. And a lot of people were very pleasantly surprised to hear that we're in court and that we're dealing with the Supreme Court in the way that we're dealing with them. So that it was very good and eye-opening for them, and they're excited about it. So they're rooting for us, and they're helping us out. And they, you know, they threw money at us as far as the donations, so that was good. Clearly not enough came in, but they did what they could. After all, they're at the fair, you know, spending time, money, effort, and energy with their families to go to the annual fair. But it was good. And then let's see. So that was that. And then yesterday we were at the Cottonwood Car Show. We were invited down there by Dan to come down and hang out there and do the same kind of thing, and we did. And it was a great event. Lots of beautiful cars out there. Got to meet several good people coming through and doing the exact same thing, and just talking to them about what we're doing, how we're doing it. People new to the area, people that returning to the area from other places because it's not any better elsewhere, so they decided to come back home. And so we got to talking about it. So they'll probably be at the meeting tomorrow night. So we have a few of those folks coming in. And then I think that's probably...
Well, we have a conference call tonight. And yes. I'll tell you what, it's a little confusing. So the easiest way to do the conference call tonight, it's a new number. It's a new chat room. You're going to probably have to pull down an app to get into the chat room. We're no longer doing Chatsy. We're doing Zoom. So, honestly, the easiest way to do it is go to the SOJ51.org, look for the newest messenger, scroll down a little bit on the homepage, you'll find the messengers, they're all archived, go to the newest one, and in that newest one, it'll have all the info for the numbers. So I can give you the numbers, but honestly, we'll just do them real fast so you can understand why it's so complicated. So the number to call in is 408-638-0986. The access code is 989-704-2586. Hashtag, the Zoom number is 989-704-2586. So, again, that's how confusing it is. I could go slower, but honestly, what you probably should do is go to SOJ51.org, scroll down on the home screen to the messenger, pull down the latest messenger, and it'll have links in there to get you into the chat room, to pull down the app that you're going to need to get into the chat room, and it has a link there to call the number and get you in with the access code on the number. So, anyways... That'll be tonight, 7 o'clock, I believe, is the call. And, again, it's a little confusing, so just easiest way is go to the website.
And the reason we're changing that, we were having multiple problems with the old server that people couldn't get through. And I myself multiple times could not get through to even hear what was going on. So, I know other people out in more rural areas were having the same issue, so we decided to make a change. Sometimes change can be a little bit challenging in the beginning, so we're trying to get this through so we can make it work. So, again, we'll repeat the numbers a little bit later so that you can get them. And, again, Chris is right. Go onto the website, soj51.org, and find the messenger on there, and it'll have all that information right there in front of you. You can print it out, and you'll have it handy. So we can encourage you to do that. First of all, we have a caller. Let's go to Penny real quick. Penny, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm good.
What's happening?
Is this Wynn?
It is.
Oh, well, hi. Hi, Wynn. Hi, Chris. I was kind of in the other room listening to the radio, and you caught me off guard. I just wanted to remind people, and when we go out to those places and we have booths, now is the time to take the voter registration forms.
Amen. Yep.
Good idea, Penny.
I, in fact, a gentleman asked for one yesterday and we didn't have one. So this is the time to do it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, good reminder. We need to make sure that we have those handy.
Yeah, we really do. The state of California right now is making it legal, or we've already made it legal for illegal citizens to vote, and now we're making legal for convicts to vote, both locked up and on parole and probation, whatever. So, yeah, good point, Penny. We need all the good, decent people we can registered to vote because, believe me, the people that are running California are signing them up by droves. Some alive, some dead, some incarcerated, some, you know, they're all getting signed up by the other side. So, thank you, Penny.
And some twice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, so I just wanted to let people know for the other counties, and also this is the time to take those registration forms out and get people to register.
Good point.
Okay.
Thank you, Penny.
Have a good day, guys.
You too. And she's
Bye-bye.
She's absolutely right. Not only is it important to vote, but it's also important on who counts the vote.
Yep.
I mean, sometimes that's even more important. You need to make sure that your local county registrar of voters is on top of it, and they're doing what they need to do, and they're cleaning things up, and question it. Don't just ask them once and let them get away with it. Ask for proof.
Yeah, I say it a lot, and I repeat it a lot, but I will say it again. Joseph Stalin is the one that said it doesn't matter who votes, it matters who counts the votes, and I truly believe that's where we are in California right now. So.
Amen. All right, we have another caller on the line. Let's go to Mark Baird. Good morning, Mark. How are you doing, buddy?
Good morning, Wynn. How you doing, Chris?
Hey, good morning, Mark.
Yeah, I just sit here listening, and, you know, your opening about Ammon Bundy was very interesting, and I had the honor and privilege to sit with Ammon Bundy over dinner one night, and I sat and talked to him for about 2 hours, and I know that the media, of course, the mistrustful media, has painted one picture of him, but I, you know, personally, my impression of Ammon Bundy was that he was a very humble, very honorable, very truthful guy, and a lot of the circumstances that he pointed out to me were that occurred in Malheur Refuge and also on his father's ranch in Nevada. And then he asked me, he said, did you ever hear about any of this in the press? And, of course, honestly, I said, oh, absolutely not. I mean, the press didn't tell the truth, doesn't tell the truth, won't tell the truth. And so you really have to dig pretty deep to get these facts. But there is a great video circulating that my wife showed me just this morning, and we watched. And it tells a very different story than the newspaper told. And I know that Jeanette Finnicum is coming to your area. She's also going to be up here to talk to the Patriots meeting, the Tea Party meeting in Yreka. And I have to say, just looking at the circumstances surrounding her husband's death, he was murdered by the police, and the police lied about it. The Oregon State Police lied, and the Federal Bureau of Investigation lied about the circumstances surrounding his death. They killed him and tried to cover up the fact that they killed him without provocation. And if the government is willing to do that once, they're willing to do it 10,000 times. And yes, we have a friendly administration in Washington right now, but even the President of the United States can't be everywhere all the time. And we've heard a lot about the deep state and the permanent elite class of governing body, and California has one too, where civil servants who are unelected have an agenda, and they push that agenda, and quite frankly, the people have no oversight of it, and we have no recourse under it. And as Thomas Gordon said, all courts are corrupt, it was Edmund Coates that said all courts are corrupt because the judge knows who pays them. We have no recourse in court. And we're finding that more and more, even with our own case, where we use the legitimate processes available to the people to challenge the authority of the three branches of government, and we have to use one of those branches to challenge the other two. And when the judge turns to us and says, the people who formed the state of California do not have the standing to challenge the government they formed in court, I can tell you right now that the Republic of California is gone. It's over. It's lost. We've lost. And if we don't prevail in court, we have to think of something else. We've challenged the legislative branch in a legitimate manner, and we were ignored. Not even our own representatives would call us back to see what it is we want or why we want it. We challenged the executive branch. We went to Sacramento with an appointment that the governor's office was well aware of, as illustrated to me by a representative that came out from the office several times. They knew they had an appointment. And yet, at the very end, they ignored the appointment with the excuse that they were doing really important, and this is a quote, by the way, they're busy doing really important stuff, and they don't have time to see us. And they didn't even have time to send a janitor out to accept a packet of papers, which we were determined to give them that day. They did not have time to send out somebody that washes windows to just take the papers from us to give to the governor's staff because, quote, they were doing really important stuff. And so they knew we were coming. And 200 people witnessed the government's treatment of the people who formed this state and who formed this nation. So I want to tell everyone now, we've had plenty of wake-up calls. We've had more than enough wake-up calls. Your Second Amendment rights in California are in dire jeopardy. And if Gavin Newsom, who can't even tell the truth to his wife and his best friend, is elected governor, he has some stated goals. Repeal the Second Amendment in California. Go to open borders, allowing anyone and everyone that wants to come into California legally, illegally, he doesn't care to come. And his third stated goal, already in public, he's publicly stated this more than once, is to give all illegal aliens free access and free health care. They are already granted in-state tuition, so an illegal alien who comes here can get the same tuition your children can. And I just want to ask you, who's going to pay for that? You are. What if 30 million illegal aliens from all over the world decide to come to California because there's free health care here? And all of a sudden, we are absolutely overwhelmed with a population of illegal aliens who broke the law, criminal aliens who broke the law to come here, and our new governor has already promised them free health care. How is that going to be paid for? Because Gavin certainly hasn't said how it's going to be paid for. He keeps telling us, well, we paid for free health care in San Francisco. But health care is a service, and it's not free. Somebody's paying for it.
Well, maybe
someone somewhere is paying for it.
Maybe after he talks the teachers union into teaching for free to give them a free education, maybe he'll talk the doctors into working on them for free. Think that's a possibility?
Yeah, you know, Chris, that's funny you should say that because he's promising everyone else a raise.
Yeah.
He's promising his minions a raise. Now, who pays for that? The taxpayers. So the taxpayers are the well from which all wealth springs. Government produces nothing. They don't make anything. All they do is they take from someone something which they produced and earned, and they give it to someone else that they think deserves it more than the person who earned it. And Thomas Gordon did say that every plowman knows the difference between good government and bad. He knows because he knows how much of his own produce he gets to keep. And I'm telling you, in California, this is the wake-up call. If we fail now, you'll see an exodus, and this state will devolve into just a mass of cities where people poop on the street. Oh, wait a minute. We already have those, don't we? I mean, our society will devolve into a criminal mass of dystopian violence and anarchy until finally no reasonable, decent person would want to live here. And that's almost already the case, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is.
It is. Hey, Mark, do you mind waiting on the line with us? We have a gentleman calling in, and we wanted to get to him real quick. Do you mind doing that?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. Let's go to line two. We've got Konstantinos Rodaitis. Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Why don't you introduce yourself and tell our listeners who you are and what you're doing?
Well, my name is Konstantinos Rodaitis, and I am the candidate for California State Controller. And the controller is the chief financial officer of the state, but more importantly, they are the chief taxpayer watchdog. They're the one who signs the checks and makes sure that there's no waste, fraud, and abuse going on, and make sure that all payments comply with state law. So when you think about the controller and you think, you know, what will Konstantinos Rodaitis do as controller, and it is protecting the taxpayer, and that's the decision you're going to have to make in November.
There
and as well as that, I'm the co-chair of Yes on 6, which is the repeal of the car and gas tax.
Amen. We need both. We need all that happening. Now, quick question. Are you going to do a forensic audit on the office to make sure things are clean and clear where they need to be and expose where exposure needs to occur?
Are you speaking on behalf of Caltrans?
On the controller's office, you know, making sure that everything is being done.
Oh, yes.
Accordingly.
Yeah, one of the first things that I want to go ahead and take a look at and see is staffing levels, what has been the priorities within the controller's office, what's the aspect of focusing. Obviously, there is some duties that come with the office that is needed to be done administratively. I'm going to look and see how I can most effectively streamline things. Like I'm a CEO and CFO in the private sector, so I'm going to take a look at those things and then where I can transition and pivot employees from, you know, if they're overstaffed in one area, to move them, because I really want to start doing forensic audits on a whole host of issues within the state government. And so I need to first get an idea of how well the office is functioning from an internal, not just external, as we can see now, but internal perspective, and then make adjustments where it needs to be.
Okay, and do you have like a guesstimation or a timeline that you would like to have this done by?
Well, the first thing that I want to do is before I would take office would be to begin looking at the department itself, even talking if, the current controller would allow me, you know, it's still her office during that time after the election, but to go in there, kind of talk to the employees, get a grasp of the situation so I can start putting a plan together so I can get my, you know, start running on day one. So I plan to do it before I even take office to begin the process.
Okay, very good. Chris, you have
a... No, I was just wondering, who is our current controller now?
The current controller is Betty Yee.
And is she running again also?
Yes, she's the incumbent. She has another term possible. I'm going to try and prevent her from getting another term. But, yes, that is my opponent in the general election.
We would like to help you prevent that also because I'm pretty sure my tax dollars are not going to where I would like them to go to. And quite frankly, I think they're taking too many of my tax dollars to waste on frivolous things like the bullet train.
Yes, and one of the good things that I tell people is what the controller's ability to do is, so the current controller, she has refused to actually audit the high-speed rail. And I think that is... just dereliction of duty. There's no excuse for that. And when I see the funding parameters of Prop 1A, it mandated that one-third funding come from the state, one-third from the federal government, and one-third from private sector. So if that was the authorizing agent, and those were the parameters, and I see the federal government has stopped funding it, not one penny from private sector money has come in, well, the controller can hold payments on things that don't comply with state law. So on day one, I'm going to defund the high-speed rail until that project complies with Prop 1A. And I believe it won't, and that'll be the end of this boondoggle of high-speed rail.
Do you oversee things like, for instance, the water bond that was passed a few years ago that went, none of it went to water storage? Would you be overseeing those type of things also?
There's a kind of yes and no. Now, bond is actually the business of the treasurer. So the selling of the bonds and those issues falls onto the treasurer's position. Now, the ability to audit and take a look on how money is being spent, yes, the controller has aspects on that. But when you think of bond issues or those, you think are like the banking issues of the state, that's the treasurer's position. The controller's the CFO, and they're the ones who is the auditor to make sure the chief taxpayer watchdog. So it has a balance into it, but most of that falls on the treasurer's duty.
But your department would be able to point out that we passed $1 billion water bond and nothing went to water storage or really went to the betterment.
Yes, I can use the bully pulpit of my office for pretty much anything that
Perfect.
I want.
Do you plan?
Yes, I plan on pounding hard and making sure that people know how every single penny is being wasted, you know, that's being spent in the state and how it's being wasted and how we can do better.
Now, are you going to give like a quarterly or, every 6 month report?
I would like to be able to hit something, every week. I would love to be able to, you know, issue out a report or point something out. I mean, I want this to be the most aggressive and most active, controller's office that's ever been.
Okay.
And the more I can do with my staff and time, I'm going to try and do it. I will not rest. I want to expose as much as I possibly can and get the state on the right path.
So like the fire fee that California imposed upon myself and many other thousands of North State residents, now they didn't call it a tax, but they call it a fee, but to me it's a tax. I don't know, would you be able to point out that none of that went to fire prevention?
I mean, like I said, it's the ability of the controller's office of a bully pulpit to kind of basically say, hey, you're charging people all this taxes and all these, you know, fees. Like you said, a fee is a tax. And so it's to point out to the fact that it isn't. Now, if there is parameters on how they're spending that money or if they're diverting it, like looking at the, you know, the law specifically, because, you know, they always put these loopholes into there to prevent, you know, so they can basically siphon money off of everywhere. So sometimes it's difficult to be able to stop and redirect. But, you know, the bully pulpit puts a lot of pressure and say, you know, hey, what are you doing about fire prevention? And what are you doing with this money that was taken? You're not using it, or you are using some of it, but look how you're wasting it. So these things comes with the job that I get to put pressure on.
Okay, so with that, you just mentioned a second ago, siphon money off of it. Where are they putting that siphoned money? That's important. If it's earmarked to go to a certain department or, you know, some category to be filled, and they're siphoning money off of that, where is that going?
Well, yeah, so they do that all the time, for instance, with our gas tax. So, for instance, that's why we're fighting hard on Yes on 6 on the repeal of the car and gas tax.
Right.
Because even they're trying to point to Prop 69 that happened during the primary and say, oh, it can go to, you know, transportation. There's not really protections onto it. So there's a couple of different ways. They do a broad category of what falls in, like, for instance, a high-speed rail with, you know, work under their transportation, so they can take your gas tax money to keep funding the high-speed rail, but they can do studies or overhead unemployments, but they'll pump other times funds that have, say, absolutely zero protection. They'll go ahead and siphon that off. So you remember, like, the lottery, right? It was supposed to fund education. Well, as that money comes in for education, they're like, well, we're already getting money from the lottery. Let's just take money away from the budget that we already had for education, so we're not really funding more. So prior to the SB1, which was the Democrat tax on consumer on cars and on gas, only 20% of the gas tax was going towards road repairs.
Where's the other 80% go? Just to, they're siphoning
it off?
Well,
a lot of times they divert it into the pensions. So they'll divert into the pensions or pet projects. They'll do a loan to the general fund. So a lot of times they'll just get siphoned into the general fund.
Oh, wait, a loan?
Use it for
a loan to the general,
you know,
fund.
You may refer straws.
A loan to the general fund? Is that what you just said?
Sometimes they'll do loans to the general fund, or they'll just siphon it off to the general fund, yes.
So a loan implies payback at some point.
Anything.
A loan implies payback. So when's it going to payback going to ever occur?
Well, yes. That's like Social Security, right? They always siphon money off of Social Security, but eventually they're going to pay it back one day. But it never happens.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll tell you what, it would sure be refreshing to have somebody that would be able to point out that, hey, that extra 50 cents a gallon you're paying in gasoline, by the way, it doesn't go to pave new roads and make new roads like they try to claim. And that fire tax that was imposed does not go to fire prevention. It would sure be nice for people to know that.
Absolutely, because if you're paying 50 cents in tax, only 10 cents in that tax is actually going to the road.
Yeah, and probably half of that 10 cents is going to make new bike lanes and roundabouts, which Lord knows we don't need.
Actually, in SB1, it's actually, you're really prevented from actually building new roads, except for in two cases, which could be a carpool lane. They will allow that one, so that's kind of a general-purpose road. But here's the kicker. This is the best one on the gas tax, what they did, is they allow you to be taxed more so your tax dollars can go to build a toll road, which then you will be taxed for to drive. So your tax dollars can build a toll road. SB1, but not regular general-purpose roads.
Do we have to wait till November to vote for you? Can we vote now?
Oh my gosh, this is a cluster.
Well, our early voting starts probably in about a month. So
vote early and vote off.
Tell your friends to get up there early.
Oh my gosh, this is a hot mess, man. Oh, it gets worser and worser as we go on, doesn't it? Oh my gosh.
Here's the worst thing that she wants to do is my opponent. Her top priority in the second term is to implement a service and labor tax.
No,
so wants to start taxing child care, health care,
A plumber.
Any labor you can possibly think.
Yeah, your plumber comes to fix your toilet, and guess what? He's gonna get charged for that too.
Yeah.
Yep.
I try to explain that to people. You know, when you go to the mechanic shop right now, you pay tax on the parts they use, but you don't pay tax on the labor. Well, now you'll be paying tax on the parts and the labor, and that goes for everybody: doctors, plumbers, electricians. That's what they want to do next: is tax the labor.
Yep. It's intended. We need to stop this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amen. Okay, so what can we do to help you, to help all of us? Oh my gosh, this is scary.
The best way, obviously, is for me to, whenever you need me to be onto the air and let your audience know. But if people want to learn more about me, or they want to learn more about why Yes on 6 or Repeal the Gas Tax is important, and you know the service and labor tax that they want to implement, how we can defund the high-speed rail, they can go to my website, which is CA Controller. That's the position that I'm running for, cacontroller.com. And you can learn more about me, Constantinos Roditis, for California State Controller, at that website.
All right. Well, we hope everybody does that. cacontroller.com. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay.
cacontroller.com.
Okay, good. Well, we'll get that word out there and hopefully share some more information. Love to have you back on the show at some point. Find out what's going on, where you are in the process. And we only do our shows on Sundays, so we'll have to carve out a Sunday morning to do that. But we would love to have you come back and give us some more insight what's going on as you get farther into the process of the election and even post-election to find out what's going on.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for having me, gentlemen. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you.
And thank you.
You have 2 votes in this room, 20 million to go.
There you go.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Bye-bye.
So to be totally politically fair, we need to give an invitation out to the current controller to be more than happy to come on this program. Please let me in on that day.
Well, I think what's happening is she's probably going to be busy letting, you know, the money be pilfered from one account to the other, and she's her head's probably spinning on that.
That's true, but the invitation is out there. Current controller, you're more than welcome to call into this show.
Amen. It just, you know, you just hear this stuff, and the gentleman's running for this office so clearly so he can clean it up. And I support that 100%, and he's backed by, you know, conservatives, and so we'll see how it goes. But I'm good Lord, just those 3 or 4 topics right there is enough to make you want to pitch a fit.
Well, I have to wonder, what would be a worse job, cleaning up that controller's office or cleaning the sidewalks in San Francisco?
Well, I don't know. Hopefully he's got his hazmat suit on.
I think you'd be cleaning the same stuff off both of them, but...
Well, he probably has to wear armor when he goes into that office because who knows who's going to be pitching a fit here and there. Hey, Mark, you still on the line with us?
Yes, I'm still here.
So did you happen to hear what he had to say about cleaning all that stuff up?
Yeah, I did. And, you know, I think it's great. It sounded wonderful. After I do some more research, you probably have my vote too. But, you know, the controller, that's a pretty limited position. We need somebody in the governor's chair too, because if we had someone in the governor's chair that was fiscally responsible patriot, then maybe the controller's job wouldn't be quite so hard. It just seems like the people here we're always having to use the back door to try to get something done that we can't get done through normal governmental channels. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I think you guys ought to invite Gavin Newsom on your radio show. And I know I've been talking about the potential for service taxes coming for years, because as I've reported before, someone I know who is a county supervisor, and all county supervisors, when they're newly elected, they have to go down to Sacramento and they go to supervisor school. And that's where the state tells them that they do not represent the people of their county. They represent the state of California, and you will do as you're told or else. And when my acquaintance went to supervisor school, he was told about service taxes years ago that they're coming. And the representative of the state of California was talking about service taxes, and they said, and this is a quote, "That's where the real money's going to come from." So they're banking on those service taxes. When you go get a haircut at the barber, you're going to pay. If you call a plumber, you're going to pay. If you go to the doctor, you're going to pay. Can you imagine what a 7% tax would be on a cancer surgery? Gee, a 7% tax would probably be $10,000.
At least,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
You are going to pay and pay and pay and pay and pay until finally the taxpayers of California will be dried up husk lying out in the sun of a depleted state treasury, and everybody that comes here illegally is going to be basking in the lap of luxury from their efforts.
You know,
I mean, is this the state you really want to live in? You know, I applaud the guy running for controller. He's doing what he can within the purview of his experience. Vote for him. Gosh, if what he says is true, vote for him, because we need all the help we can get. But it isn't enough, folks. It isn't enough.
You know,
not by a long shot.
The example you use there, Mark, a tax on a cancer surgery. Now imagine if the insurance company says, hey, we're not paying sales tax. That's not covered under your policy. You're paying that out of pocket.
Well, yeah, that's out of
I'll
pocket.
Bet you if you read your, I'll bet you if you read your policy, it's not in there. I don't think paying taxes on surgeries in my any of my policies. And, oh, by the way, in Obamacare, I mean, you're spending $12,000 a year on insurance with a $6,000, $7,000, $10,000 deductible anyway. And in the state of California, you know, we had for a while during Obamacare, we had this what was called a short-term policy, where you could get catastrophic health insurance for about $90 a month. Well, the California legislature just put the kibosh on that, because you can't get short-term. If you are in the state of California, you have to have the bronze or silver or gold plan. And those insurance policies, quite frankly, we quit ours, because there's no point in paying the premium. I mean, it costs $6,500 a year to pay my wife's health insurance premium, and it was a $6,500 deductible. Gosh, that's a lousy bet. I mean, the people of California would be better served by the short-term policies where people who are young and relatively healthy, they can purchase catastrophic health insurance for, you know, $100 a month or whatever, something they can afford, and that actually did some good. But the legislature says, oh, no, you're not going to get away with that, because you need to fund free health care for illegal aliens and their children. I mean, we live in a communist state. We live in a socialist state where the government controls all methods of production. The government is going to take your dollar and give you back whatever they think you need to live on.
Wow.
And if we don't do something about this right now, it's not going to matter who controller is, because they won't have a leg to stand on anyway.
Right. Well, and the biggest thing, too, was just getting his name out there so he's introduced to listeners, and so that we can, you know, start helping to clean up the swamp in Sacramento while we're still actively doing what we need to be doing for ourselves as Jeffersonians. Hey, Mark, hold on the line. We have a caller coming in on here. Hey, Gordy, are you there?
To listeners and pleasant.
Gordy,
hello?
Gordy, are you there?
Yeah, I'm there.
How you doing? You're down in Calaveras County, huh?
Yeah. I was listening to you last week, and Mark talked about the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, how they had okayed the open carry law, and I just thought that it doesn't recognize that, because the sheriff and the district attorney and all these law enforcement people take an oath to defend the Constitution. And it just seems a shame that they won't do anything about it. But what I had in mind is, you've probably seen the lip sync challenge, all this going around.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, why don't we have an open carry challenge where we would get the everyone running for sheriff in the state of Jefferson would agree not to prosecute anyone for open carry. And I just think that would be a great deal. I think it would catch on.
Well, there's probably more to it than I'm aware, because I'm sure with the requirements of not only just the oath that they took to the state, but also the obligations they have as being a sheriff and what their specific counties require. There could be some stuff in there where it could get them in trouble as well. But I don't know that. I don't know that for a fact. I'm just thinking outside the box because we live in California and there's always something hiding in the closet. You know, there's always something there that could reach up and grab you. But, hey, yeah.
And you are right, Gordy. You know, they took an oath to uphold the Constitution, and the California Constitution states that the United States Constitution is the supreme law of the land. So legally, there should be no challenge to that. Now, unfortunately, what happens is all of these sheriffs, or the vast majority of these county sheriffs, have their hand out to both the state and the federal government, waiting for some of their tax dollars to come back to them in the form of grants. So that is how they strong arm all these sheriffs. It's like, you do what we say, or you're not going to get that grant for your new cars and your, you know, whatever else you need. So I like the idea, and I'm for it, but I don't know how much support we'd get.
And
am I still on?
Yeah, you are on, Mark.
Oh, okay. I have something to tell Gordy. See, here's the problem with that. Even if the sheriff failed to enforce the ban on open carry, even if a constitutional sheriff, and we do have a few, not many, but we've got a few, that wouldn't help us. Because if you were, say, in the Walmart parking lot and you got out with your gun on the outside of your pants there and a CHP officer saw you, or a fish and game officer, or any one of the 40 or 50 armed state agents who saw you, or say a city police chief who didn't honor the sheriff's request, then they would cause a big scene and maybe somebody would get shot, because it's not normal in California to see someone exercising their God-given liberty. So here's our problem. Yes, the Young versus Hawaii case is law in the Ninth Circuit. All circuit judges are bound to follow it. But here's the problem. You cannot compel a state to fail to enforce an unconstitutional law unless you sue them directly. So what we're trying to do now, what I'm trying to do, is I'm trying to find a federal trial attorney who is competent enough to write an injunction in federal court banning the state of California, or barring the state's attorney general from enforcing the provisions of Penal Code 25850, 26350, and 26400, which are the express bans on the open carry of a loaded or unloaded handgun or long gun. And if we can do that, and it should be pretty easy, because if you file a TRO or an injunction in federal court, the federal judge is bound to follow Ninth Circuit opinion, and Young versus Hawaii is published, so it is a settled opinion in the Ninth Circuit, and any federal trial judge in the Eastern District of California is bound to follow that opinion. But we've got to get into court, we've got to get this TRO or injunction filed, and I'm looking for an attorney who is competent and willing to file that right now. And I'm trying to raise the money to pay for that action, because it's going to be about $20,000-$25,000 every time the people go to court. It costs money. So that's what we're trying to do, because we need to protect people from state agencies who are lawless, even though your sheriff may be lawful.
All right.
I hope that helps.
I think it does. That answers a few questions there.
Now, also, sheriffs of counties with less than 200,000 people have the ability to issue an open carry permit under Penal Code 26150B2. So if you live in a sparsely populated county, make a formal request to your sheriff to issue you an open carry permit. That would be better than nothing for now. But then once we get this settled, we want to pass resolutions in every county of Jefferson that Jefferson counties are Second Amendment sanctuary counties. And then we can go on to try to grant reciprocity to all of the counties of Jefferson, so that open carry will apply in all the counties of Jefferson. And that's one way we can start to declare our liberty from the communist failed state of California.
There you go. Wow. There's a lot to this whole program.
There certainly is, yeah. So
there's more going on every which way, and no matter which way you turn, there's something going on. If the roadblock or what have you, and you've got to be careful. It's like walking in through lion mines. You've got to be careful where you step. I mean,
well, here's the deal, guys. You know, this requires a tremendous amount of research, because we have to protect people from the lawlessness of the state.
Right.
And the way to do that is to use their own laws against them.
Mm-hmm.
So even though we may declare liberty, we have to protect people, because let's say your wife decides to join in the protest and she's wearing her gun when she goes into Raley's or goes into the, you know, the Home Depot or whatever, and some highway patrolman sees her. Oh, there's someone with a gun. Put your hands up. Put your hands up. Boom. And before you know it, one of your family members is lying dead in a parking lot. So we want to be careful, and we want to be lawful, because we want to set an example to people that there is a legal, moral, and ethical way to accomplish the goal of the restoration of liberty and inalienable rights in the republic that we formed to protect our freedom. Now, if all of those avenues fail, then we may have to resort to self-help. But so far they haven't. Let's exhaust all legal, moral, ethical means to restore liberty to our people first. And we're not there yet, but we need everyone's help. You've got to stand up and help. You can't just call a radio show. You got to give your money. You've got to give your time. You've got to participate, or we will not win. And that's our problem now. We need people to participate, to contribute to the Legal Defense Fund, to contribute to causes like the one I'm proposing now. We need people to show up, to petition their own sheriff for an open carry permit. We need people to stand up and be counted, because for gosh sakes, the 25 or 30 people in each county that are helping this right now, it's not enough. If we showed up in Sacramento one time with 150,000 people, we'd win. But if we keep showing up with 10, 20, 100, or 200 people, they sit there and they laugh at us.
Yeah, because there's so many people waiting for somebody else to do the work. That's what we keep finding. You know, people, when are you going to do this? When are you going to do this? Like, when are you going to step up and help out? You know, you have to challenge people back, because people are willing to become, you know, a patriot as long as they can do it from their lazy boy. You know, they're not willing to go out there and do the work that it takes. And there's commitment on every level that, you know, of all the people that are doing it. It's amazing to see the fellowship, the brothers and sisters of Jefferson in all counties doing this. And I know there are more out there. They're just sitting idle. They're sitting at home doing whatever they're doing, or off running around. They're not fighting for liberty, and they want it, but they're not willing to put the time, effort, and energy into it. Hey,
well, I mean, here's an easy way to help. We're going to be on the steps of the Secretary of State's office at 11 a.m. on the 21st. Yes, it's a work day. And we're going to record the declarations of Stanislaus and Mariposa County to withdraw from the state of California to form the 51st state of Jefferson. Those will be recorded on the 21st. Let's say 25,000 people show up to that.
Yeah.
How about that?
Come support the final two coming in.
If the same 100 people show up that always show up,
mm-hmm.
then that tells you something. It tells you that people really don't want liberty.
Yeah, and then they're going to scream about it when it's truly all taken away. Then there'll be a voice, maybe. Hey, we've got another caller.
Yeah, but can you imagine if 25 or 30,000 people showed up to that on the 21st, can you imagine the impact that would have?
That would be, yes, it would be very impactful. Yes, absolutely. Okay, Mark, we have another call. We have a caller on the line. Let's get to them real quick before we run out of time. Good morning, Bob. Roger. How you doing?
Good morning.
Okay,
Mark brought up the thing and you guys brought up about all the things and what our new governor wants to do. But Mark Levin 2 weeks ago said 60% of that money, California will pay 40% for all the schooling and medication, but then the rest of the United States, their taxes will pay the extra 60%.
The 60% on what? For what?
Well, for schools, for medication, for all the free stuff California wants to give away.
Okay. California's writing checks they can't
cover. Okay. When we were talking about that. And the other thing was, is we had our Sheriff Tom Bashenko up at the fair. And we had a talk with him about open carry. So we're waiting for some answers.
There you go.
What do you think?
Well, he said he has a group of five people he has to go through to get this through. And we showed him probably 500 signatures that we had or more for open carry in Shasta County. And it about floored him. So we'll see what happens.
Yep, we'll see what happens. Hey, we got 1 minute left. We're just about
you
the
bet.
End of the show.
We'll talk to you later.
All right,
thank you,
Bob, and thanks,
bye.
Mark.
Mark, thank you very much.
I want to get one thing out there real quick. Normally, we have another radio show on K-High starting at 9 or at 10, but you might want to hang around here because our guest at the Tea Party tomorrow night, Jeanette Finnicum, is going to be on the next radio show, Sovereign Mind. So
that's right.
Hold on for that. It's going to be great.
And don't forget to go to the website to get the information for the chat for the call for tonight, soj51.org, and go to the messenger, and you'll get the information.
And time flies when you're having fun with